Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus, as he promises that where we gather in his name, we will be enabled to worship God, and God himself will be present with us. Let us seek that this morning as we come for his worship. And we come to and preparing for what lies ahead of us, that in our daily lives we might serve our God, which is also worship, and a number of the things that we might do together as a congregation. Quite a number of things printed out for you. Today there's a variety of matters, perhaps because we're just about to start into a new year. I don't think I need to go through all of them, but I do need to highlight some of them. First of all, regarding Sunday school, there's no Sunday school this morning, but to highlight that we'll be starting again next week. Please remember that. Also next week, we would hope to start on Sunday evening before the service, which starts at 6:30, that there will be an opportunity for prayer in one of the rooms here. So encourage as many people as possible to adjust your timetable a little bit on a Sunday to come and to get together for a short time of prayer on Sunday evenings, and that would be every week. Just on a termly arrangement, there is also going to be an opportunity for prayer at St. Andrew's School just up the hill on next Sunday. Just it will follow our service. So if there's maybe one or two might be available maybe to join me to go up for that. One of the highlights of our year has been in the past to get together for a walk. And we've arranged that for Tuesday, New Year's Day. If you want a little bit more information about the location particularly, please speak to Dick Huffenden. He's got some maps and so on, can help you out with that. Then to do with there is also to be a prayer meeting, the weekly prayer meeting beginning again on Wednesday evening. So just to mention that. Then a couple of things to mention that are down the back. There's the new camps brochure, youth camps brochure from the Free Church. It's just come out. They'll be taking bookings or allocating places from the middle of this month. So if you're interested, please look at it quickly and get into it as soon as you can. And then if I could also mention the missions newsletter of the International Conference of Reformed Churches. Now, I'd appreciate your support. Take that and take an interest in what is included there. I'm involved in the committee that produces this newsletter, and I would appreciate it as a sign of support as well. If you pick up copies of that, take it with you. And then a reminder too, there is this little booklet, Try Praying. They're free at the back, free for you, free for anyone. And as the back, inside the back, it says, release this booklet into the wild. Use it, take it, pass it on, and we can always get more if you can do that. It's to encourage people in the middle of the struggles of life, try praying and come to know God, as many have done through that already. And then finally to welcome visitors. Good to have a number of you with us this morning. Pray God's particular blessing on you. And if I might mention, I believe that this is the last Sunday we'll see J.C. Potgieter for a while. No? Not yet? You're about to go soon? But
I'll be there next week.
You'll be here next week. I'll mention it next week, God willing. But please do remember him as he prepares to leave and to head off for South Africa. Now, we come to worship of God as the Lord himself calls us, coming to him, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice by turning to praise him in Psalm 147, page 192. And we'll sing the verses marked 1 to 7, the first five stanzas. Psalm 147, O praise the Lord! How good it is to sing him songs of praise! How pleasant to give thanks to him for all his gracious ways! And then the psalm continues to speak of the works of God's grace towards his people, and then through to verse 7, sing to the Lord with thankfulness. Let's stand to sing to his praise. We'll stay standing after that to pray together.
Oh, praise the Lord, how good it is to sing him songs of praise.
We praised you as we ought, as you are worthy of our praises through days past. Have we found other things more pleasant? Lord, has our heart been attuned to what is our greatest need? To humble ourselves before our God. To glorify you, to live unto your praises. Lord, we live in a world, we are so often caught by the spirit of this world, which cannot understand how the one who is almighty also reaches down to lift up the needy. Who has a heart for the downtrodden and the oppressed. We pray, O Lord, that all the more we would be urgent in spirit to seek you out and your works. That our lives in every part, in word and in deed, out of the thoughts and the depths of our hearts, will be given over unto you in praise and also in thanksgiving for the great grace with which you have looked on us and dealt with us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that has brought us to this place this morning and that has been at work in us in times past, that we come together with friends in the Lord, that we come together with those who we have come to know, in part at least, to encourage one another, and to turn one another's gaze to our God, the one who is sufficient for all things. As we look back on the year past, we we return thanks to you for all that you have blessed us with. As we look forward to the new year that we anticipate beginning on Tuesday, help us to do so with an eye to what is pleasing to you, with an eye to your service, and to set ourselves to that as the great fulfillment of life, and that in which you are well pleased. We pray, Lord, that as we come to your word in praise and reading and meditation and study, that you will draw us ever closer to yourself. And pray that you would meet with each one of us in the particular circumstances of our lives, and that we will know that none of these things are too great for you to overcome, for you to work through, that we might see our God. We pray especially, O Lord, that we will see you as we are drawn to look upon your great gift to us of your own Son, that we would acknowledge the great price that has been paid, that he has redeemed us with his precious blood, that it is an enduring sacrifice, that if he has given himself for us, that we might ourselves live for him who loved us so freely. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will know pardon of sin in and through him, and according to your promise. We pray as we continue to open your word that our hearts will also be open to know the life, his life, that comes as we hear your voice. So receive us, we pray, taking sin far from us, granting your cleansing. Look on us as righteous in him. And all we pray is that the glory will indeed be yours. For his name's sake. Amen. Regarding the law this morning, we take the words, the rich summary of the law as our Lord Jesus himself brings it to us. As Jesus answered his questioners, as to which is the great commandment of the law. And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And further in God's word, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." We must acknowledge in the light of this, as the word of God also says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we receive his promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In that confidence, let us go on in the worship of God who has loved us. Let us turn now to our first full Bible reading. It's in our continuing readings in the book of Exodus. Reading from verse 38 of chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29 at verse 38, continuing our readings here. Verse 38. "Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the one lamb shall be 1/10 of an ephah of flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning, for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its width. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it. And you shall overlay its top, its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold. And you shall make for it a molding of gold all around. 2 gold rings you shall make for it under the molding on both its sides. You shall place them on its 2 sides, and they will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, When you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord, when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give: half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel is 20 gerahs, the half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when you give an offering to the Lord, to make atonement for yourselves. And you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord, to make atonement for yourselves. We'll read just so far this morning, and seek God's blessing on his word. We see there the national daily offering. Might ask the question, why sacrifices? The Lord tells us in that towards the end of chapter 29, it is to open the way by which he may meet with his people, they may meet with him, and the conclusion being that they, in the last verse, that they shall know that I am the Lord their God. Then there is the incense, which is a symbol of prayer, only to be done as appointed, and to be done constantly, perpetual, an ongoing aroma reaching the Lord. And then this last section we read regarding ransom, a redemption price, if you like, the price of a life. And it is the same for each, rich and poor. Just to highlight some of the aspects that we have met in God's word. We'll now turn to sing together again. We'll sing in Psalm 11, verse 3 to 7. That's on page 13. Psalm 11, page 13, from verse 3. Psalm that makes very clear the distinctions that there are between men, those who would seek the Lord by the working of His Spirit, and those who do not. We sing from verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed and all around there is decay, whatever can the righteous do surrounded by such disarray? And then an answer, yet the Lord is in His holy place, the Lord is on His heavenly throne. And we'll sing then down to the verse mark 7. Let's stand again to sing.
If the foundations are destroyed, and all around there is decay, whatever can the righteous do, surrounded by such disarray?
People, a few things. I've got a few things in my bag here today. And first of all, I've got this. Does anyone know what we do with this? What's this for? Can anyone show me what you do with it? Do you want to come up and take this, William? A badminton racket, do you think? That could be squash, that kind of thing. Do you want to show me what you do with it? Come and show me. Can you show everyone what you do with it? Do you get it like this and do you blow on it, or is it like playing an instrument? What do you do with it?
You hold it at the end.
If the Lord. Okay. Right, can you just stand there and hold on to that, please? I need someone else. I've got something else. What's next? This. Okay. Do we go 10 pin bowling with this? Get down there. Send it down. Is that what we do with this? Does anyone know what we do with this? What's this? I've scared everybody off with him because I've asked you to come up and everybody thinks that they're going to have to come up as well. But come on. Someone knows what this is. What's this? Well done. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the young man from the United States of America who has told us that this is a cricket helmet. Not football, not American football, nothing of that sort. It's a cricket helmet. Do you want to wear it, Thomas? You put it on your hand. Is this the way to wear it? No, you tell me how to wear it. And you want to just stand there wearing it? Stand there with it for a minute? This is not mine. Can you just stand there with that for a minute? Good. What else have we got to do? This is a pear or something. Does anyone know what this is? You know what it is. Can I find out if somebody else knows this? What's this? It's a pear, I think. Looks a bit like Roman soldiers or something, doesn't it? Do you know what this is? Who knows what this is? Want to come and see closer? Have a closer look. You can help me with the next one. Okay, I've got one more thing after this. Does anyone know what this is? Get in, you can help me because you're in the front row. What's this? Shin pads. So, I know what my shins are. That's down on my leg there. And do you wear these when you're on a motorbike?
No.
What do you wear them for? Football. Okay. Can you hold on to them? I won't ask you because you'll tower over the rest of them. Just hold on to them. Okay. And I've got one more thing. Does anyone know what this is? Jonathan, you can help me with this one, can you? What do you think this is? Spot on. Exactly. Can you come and hold it beside Thomas for a minute? Come on. You don't have to put it on. Keep the jacket on, but just hold it up in front of you. Okay? Now, we asked the question what they're for, and I suggested a few other things that might be muddled up. I mean, what if you were going skiing? Would that be a good thing to use for it? That's for basketball, isn't it? So you get the right thing for the right job. And there's other things that you would have for cricket or football and for squash and for basketball as well. Like with basketball, you don't play with a little hard little round red ball, do you? You play with a big one. With cricket, you don't play with a big one, you play with a little one. So for each different thing, you have just the right things. Interesting, in a way you could say that these things are for protection. Okay? They're to protect you. That one's for playing the game, swiping and so on. Now we're going to read in a minute in the Bible about something that's quite like that, except it's about battle. Sometimes these things are a bit like battle, aren't they? And the Roman soldiers would have something on their legs like the shin pads. They would have a sword that you swing around a bit like a racket. Okay, they would have a helmet like this. And they probably have something like that, the right colours, so that the enemy would know. Or they wouldn't get mixed up with the enemy. Isn't that right? Yeah? Okay, shall we gather all those things up and then you can go and sit down? Thank you very much. It's very helpful. Can I hold on to that? Can you get it off? Well done. Thank you, Thomas. And William? Thank you. Thank you. Well done. So we need to remember, and especially when we're going through life, we have a whole lot of things that are going on, and if you belong to Jesus, you need to have the right things to carry with you and to use in your life, and that's what the Bible talks about, and we'll talk a bit more about today. You don't go and take the wrong thing for the wrong task, and Paul tells us here that we're not fighting one kind of battle, we're fighting another kind of battle. We've got some wrestlers in the congregation, and it's talking about wrestling. Perhaps you can tell us more about that. as we mix around afterwards. But you take the right thing for the right job, and there's a particular struggle and war and battle that we're involved in. So let's read about that. We'll turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 6. Chapter 6, we'll start reading at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Again, seeking God's blessing as we read and hear his word together. Now let us turn to prayer once more. Let's ask for God's help, grace, and blessing. Let us pray. And often, Lord, as we open the Bible, we read and we anticipate studying what we have read, we pray that you would grant blessing on your word. We do again this morning. We pray that you will wield it as a sword, that you will penetrate our hearts, that it will be that living word among us. But we pray too for these other blessings, this equipment that you present to us in your word this morning, that we will also know richness in every way, in truth, in righteousness, in faith, in salvation, and again in that gospel, the good news, the message of peace with our God, that peace which passes all understanding might be ours, guarding us in heart and mind. That we would not fall aside, that we would not stumble into false ways, but that we would be kept and enabled to rejoice in our God in every condition of life, in all that we meet, in all that, according to this passage, assaults us, as we would name the name of Christ as the one who is worthy to receive all service. We confess, O Lord, that in and of ourselves our service is nothing, that we would hear your own word, that law that all is fulfilled in loving you with a whole heart and soul and strength, that we might also love others. We bring the needs of ourselves, of others. We would pray, O Lord, and ask that you would graciously receive us, leading us by your Spirit in our prayers, that we would be in harmony with our Lord Jesus himself, who dwells with you interceding for his people, those who are and those who are yet to be. We ask, Lord, that for each one who confesses the name of Jesus today amongst us, we will be strengthened, that we will be ready, that we will rest upon your great works towards us already, and the promises of your word. We pray for each one who does not yet know you, that there would be that same reliance. Have you spoken and will you not do? To look upon the Lord Jesus as the assurance of every word, and that these things are true. We pray too for those connected with us in our wider families. We seek your blessing. We pray for physical need, whether it might be illness or restriction, disability of some kind, as we do seek for ourselves. We ask, Lord, that you would be the one who ministers, providing that healing of body where possible, providing there and otherwise that patient endurance and reliance upon yourself and your wisdom in all things. And above all, we pray for the souls of those around us, our families, people, neighbors, work colleagues, classmates. We thank you for the time that we have, some of us, for some holiday, but soon to return to our usual environments. And we ask, Lord, that you would prepare us well for such a time, that we might be witnesses to you, that great need of man might be found by those who do not yet know you. We ask, O Lord, that you would prosper the work of your Spirit in such settings where you have placed us. We pray too for this center where you have placed us. We commend to you all that is done here, the great variety of activities and provision. May they know too that your Spirit is present, that there is prayer offered for them, that they might themselves begin to seek out and to look for at your grace and your provision amongst them. So too around our nation, as many do reflect back and look forward in these days, we ask, Lord, that there will be a seeking out of an answer that has not yet been found, that men will realize that all that they have attempted through the past days and this past year, where they have excluded you, that none of these things are fulfilling, that they will seek further, they will indeed find, and go on seeking to know the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ living in them. We pray especially again for those who are suffering particular hardship in the weather that has been upon us in recent weeks, and where there is flooding. We commend them to you, Lord, and the struggles that ensue from that. But so too in many different parts of the world, whether it be the natural conditions that disturb life and undermine the well-being of great populations, or where there is the conflict of man and the self-centeredness of man that harms others. We pray, Lord, for your grace to be found in every setting, and seeking after you as the one who does supply every need, the one who is sufficient through every trial. Hear us, O Lord, as we would seek your further blessing on us and as we would go on seeking to know your will for us. We pray that your great works and your name would be honored in and through us and your people in every place. We pray that there will be great rejoicing in your presence as others also come to know you and set their lives upon a sure foundation. So hear us, O Lord, as we would plead your glory. We would ask that your name would have all the honor amongst us, and asking that you would accept us, pardoning sin according to your word, in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us turn again to sing to God's praise. Words that our Lord Jesus took, Psalm 22, page 25. We will be speaking about the wrestling with principalities and powers. Our Lord Jesus has gone before us. Yes, he was struck physically in his suffering and upon the cross, but under the influence of evil seeking to bring him down. And he took these words, my God, why have you forsaken and abandoned me? Why are you far from giving help, from listening to my anguished plea? My God, I cry to you by day. You do not hear when I complain. I call to you throughout the night. In silence I cannot remain. Yet you are holy. On the praise of Israel you are enthroned. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and were not disowned. We too can go in that confidence. We sing the first six stanzas, verses marked 1 to 8. Let's stand to sing again.
My God, oh, why have you forsaken and abandoned me? Why are you far from giving help, from listening to my anguish? My God, I cry to you. Oh, yeah.
morning, turning to that passage in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Perhaps summarized in the exhortation from verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this in particular in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, and so on. In the heat of the moment, it's very easy to lose discipline, to lose your grip on the situation. I was just hearing in the background yesterday for a few minutes a bit of commentary on a football match, and eventually there was a red card in this particular just few moments that I heard. It was a red card. A man was sent off in the heat of the moment. Moments do get heated when there are obstacles and where there's opposition, maybe on the battlefield or in the playground, in the office, on the sports field, in the exam room. Moments get heated, or you lose discipline. You lose discipline as well when there is nothing. May not be in the heat of the moment, but you're in a state of idleness on the battlefield, in the playground, in the office, in the exam room, or on the sports field. I think the sports analogy is a good one. It would extend to the battlefield as the image that Paul himself uses here. But let's take the sports field where one team is suffering, and perhaps at half time the leader gathers them together and gives them a kind of pep talk. And usually you can't go into much more than a simple reminder of the basics of life, the basics of the game, and to remind the players what's been done already to get ready for the match. It's taking a look back, but also looking ahead. Taking a look back to learn. Looking ahead so that you're not caught by surprise, not caught unready. And in many ways, that's what we have to do ourselves repeatedly, to face the realities, especially the realities of the Christian life. And now is a good time to face those realities for 2013 as it was in 2012. And the things in particular that I would draw to your attention this morning from this verse in particular is first to know that you are engaged in a battle. Know that you're engaged, know your enemy, and know your equipment. These things briefly this morning. And Paul tells us in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and so on. Know first that you are engaged in a struggle. We wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not you are watching a wrestling match. If you are doing little more than watching this struggle, is all well with you? Paul is saying we do not wrestle against such and such things, but by implication we do wrestle. We are wrestling. We are struggling. We are engaged in a conflict. Paul says we. By implication we do wrestle. We wrestle, he goes on to say, against principalities and so on. Paul is involved. He's speaking in verse 10, my brethren. Ephesians as a whole speaks about some incredible blessings. The opening chapter talks about being blessed in every way in heavenly places. This is a recurring point clause that Paul uses in this letter, the heavenly places. That's the scale at which we're working. we need to be looking. There are some unbelievably good blessings that Paul refers to in Ephesians. And if you want those, you are his brethren. And in our day and age, let me make the point that brethren here includes all, men and women. It's an inclusive term. Let's not get fussy otherwise. My brethren, all who are in the church, we wrestle. I've talked about sports gear a moment ago of different kinds. Imagine if somebody says, I love sport. And you can see that great big dip in the sofa where they've been enjoying it all these years, rather than out on the pitch. Do we go along with that? Do you really love sport? Yes, you love watching it, but do you love it? Do you engage in it? Are you just desperate to get out there? It's not about watching this wrestling, not about watching this struggle. It's about being part of it. We do wrestle. We are to be engaged in this warfare. The reason being that we are on one side or the other. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, he is under attack. Psalm 22 reminds us of that. He is under attack, and he calls you to share it with him. He says, indeed, you are me on this earth, under attack. If you truly are his. If you're not his, you need to just dip over to James. In chapter 4, James says, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In one way or another, we are engaged in the conflict. But if life is smooth spiritually, there needs to be a concern if you are professing faith in Christ. The Lord himself is in the heat of the battle. And we will see as we go on that it's in him that we find our hope, our provision. He's in the heat of the battle. It's those who are close to him who will feel the struggles more. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, that we have this immense privilege of being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him. That so that we may then be glorified together. Is life smooth spiritually? Raise a concern. Alarm. Red flag. How close are you to the Lord? We do wrestle. If you are with him. If you follow the Master, don't set your life to avoid the battles that are against him. I don't say this lightly by any means, because we see the enemy as well. And it's not an enemy to take lightly. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The things that can be seen, they're bad enough. Something far more formidable. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's our opponents. Know your enemy. Don't make the mistake of thinking it's just the things that you can see. Don't make the mistake where somebody targets you for your faith. You can see, you can hear them, every sense can tell you they're after you. But that's not all. It's not just the flesh and blood. It goes far deeper than that. This is not a struggle as man knows it, especially in our material age. It's not just physical, nor is it merely intellectual. Yes, there will be struggles there, but it's not just that. It's not at the merely emotional level. Yes, there will be struggles there, but it's not just that. All of those, to some extent, are self-contained struggles, self-centered struggles. They are traps that the enemy will set for us. But that's not the root, that's not the real conflict. Somebody was writing recently about the story of David and Goliath. And we often have a little story that we tell about that, and we say how God helps you with the smallest things, or whatever lesson you might take from it. But the deeper you read into that passage, the more you understand it was David who brought out the point. It was truly a conflict between the Lord himself and all who would set themselves against him. It's not about those things that we are so familiar with, especially in our part of the world. People do tend to live on the emotional level or the intellectual level or the physical level. Came across a comment where John in Revelation was about to fall down and worship a spiritual being, the angel. And the comment was, there's no doubt that temperamentally spiritistic people tend to yield themselves to all spiritual influences, and the devil and his demons stand always ready and eager to oblige. Now, my reason for mentioning that is to highlight that the converse is also true. And we live in a time when most people dismiss the spiritual. Most people would push it away from them. They would try to work at the merely physical or intellectual or emotional level. I think it was much the case in the days of Paul. That's why he said it, don't just become focused on the flesh and blood struggle. There's more to it than that. Not just about what we can sense or feel. How many people are shutting out the unseen and they say, give us evidence. It's the world in which we live, by and large. People resisting any suggestion of a spiritual realm. And that's equally dangerous. People will do that and they'll shut it out from their consideration. But the devil and his demons stand always ready and eager to get involved there as well, where people are saying, I don't believe in them. What an opportunity that is. I'm thinking of a regeneration project somewhere where they build a brand new playground. But for some reason or other, the local children don't use it straight away, and then the unsavory elements come in and take it over, and it becomes their haunt. We push away the spiritual realities, and those powers in the heavenly places that are against God, if we say they're not real, then the very reality will have a massive impact upon us. The follower of Christ must beware, seriously beware of making that kind of mistake, ignoring that reality. That's Paul's warning. Recognize that the even greater trouble that we will face, and that we do face, it comes from the spirits who are in outright opposition to God. Look at the terms. The rulers of the darkness of this age. Spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's recognize the reality of these powers, because they are powers. Is it difficult to be a Christian at work or at school? And spiritual powers are at work, influencing human beings to stand against you and to trouble you for Jesus' sake. It's not a small thing. They want to keep light at bay. They want to keep good and righteousness out of man's lives. The spiritual powers are at work. This is the reality. This is what has been in 2012. This is what will be in 2013, whatever we are given of it. But where are you? Where are you placed? Would you give up the friendship of Christ Jesus for an easy life? Think again. Don't go down that way. As Paul goes on to say, hold on to him all the stronger, that you may be able to stand against his craftiness, the devil's craftiness. Stay close to Christ. It will bring greater trouble upon you. I believe it will be tougher in 2013. By this time next year, if we reach there, things are going to be very different, I think, at the rate of regress that we've already faced. I know it's tough. Everyone faces struggles that the Lord puts before us. Every time I sit down to prepare something to bring to you, to present the Lord Jesus and the gospel in some form, I feel this. All sorts of things. A distraction of this, a confusion of that, and so on. All sorts of ways in which these influences are present, seeking to push me away from it so that you are away from it. In all my limitations, yet there is something that God would have for you. And these principalities and powers don't want you to get it. Anytime any of us, anytime I do it, I say, I believe in Christ. I want to tell other people about him. It's like in the old cities, if you were a soldier and you put your head above the wall, the enemy would fire at you. If you do that, if you stand for Christ in your workplace, at school, these powers will see you. And they will do what they can to bring you down, to make you hide. Anything for a quiet life. Let's not go there. Let's be engaged in this struggle. It's not nice. Not nice at all. But that's the world in which we live. But if we do suffer with him, we will also be glorified with him. These powers, they will do everything they can to persuade you to live an easy life, but they don't offer you glory. The glory that Christ offers is to be found in living for him and in him. And you see, that's what this is about. No, it is facing the reality. It's a major struggle. But in him, you are not alone. In him, you have help. In him, you have what is needed that you will stand. And that's the equipment that we see as described by Paul. I don't intend to go into it in detail today, but perhaps we will be able to in due course. Just a brief outline, and I'm not going to deal with the metaphors. I'm not sure that it's necessary to tie the metaphors precisely to what the key equipment that is offered here. As we saw with the sports, there's some gear that we have to protect us, and there's other gear that we have to play the game or to fight back with. And that's what we have here. Things to protect us, a great deal to protect us. Things to fight back with, to return the attack, to set Satan and his people back. As we know with the Lord Jesus himself, and one of the elements that we have here, I suspect we might say, realize that looking at all of them, he had them all. But he set Satan back when he was tempted with the word of God. That's the most obvious. But Satan would come again and again and again. These are things that not many people in the West particularly would have much time for. And some of them, I guess the majority of them, others in the world, have no little time for the gospel of peace, the word of God, and so on. But don't be led astray. Don't follow their way. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not going about life. If you believe in Christ, you're not going about life in the way that everybody else does. You have to take a hold of these different things, very different things, because you are in a different kind of battle. I mentioned David and Goliath a moment ago. 1 Samuel 17. Many, even the children, would probably remember this part of the story where he said, I'm going out to fight this giant. And so Saul, who was himself a very impressively built man, said, right, you need to put on this armor. David tried it on and it was impossible to move with it. And he discarded it. He said, this is useless for the way I'm going to fight this giant. It's worse than useless, it's a hindrance. It's a problem. He would lose the battle if that's what he depended on. The wrong armor. And so Paul says, don't focus on that mere flesh and blood battle. Focus on the true battle, the deeper battle, and find the armor that you need for that. Prepare well. That's why I say it again this beginning of the year. Do you have these things? Sure you do. Make sure they're ready, polished, on. You don't know. Maybe even now there's something that's distracting you, something that's penetrating, some way in which these spiritual powers are seeking to take you aside. Put on these things. Verse 14, truth. Verse 14, righteousness. Verse 15, the gospel of peace. Verse 16, faith. Verse 17, salvation and the word of God. Verse 18, prayer. That's the list. Make sure you have them. Because of this particular wrestling, this particular battle that we deal with moment by moment. But look as well. Look at each of those. Truth. Where do you find truth? Righteousness. Where do you find righteousness? The gospel of peace. Where do you find that? Faith. Where do you place it? Salvation. Where is that to be found? And the word of God. The word of God that lives. Prayer. Ask all things in my name of the Father. And he will give it to you. These are the very things that bind you to Christ. These are the very things that are to be found in him, and only in him. The way to equip yourself is to ensure that you live in him. He is the Lord of all. He gives himself to you to equip you to share in this battle with him. Psalm 62 verse 2 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. But, Jesus himself says in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Friends, let's hear this call. We are faced with many a challenge to righteousness in our day. I know that I'm not the only one who struggles when I seek to stand for Christ. I know that you go out and you face many who will subtly perhaps perhaps blatantly at times. Many who serve the purposes of these principalities and powers to drag you aside from Christ. Paul goes on to say, take up the whole armour of God in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Things haven't changed in that respect since Paul's day. Men are still set against the Lord and his anointed because they come under this influence. They will not take Christ. But there is also a great danger in doing what you can and allowing those principalities to pass you by unnoticed. The great danger is that you are then mistaken for one of them. How will the Lord then look on you? But stay true to him, he will be true to you. That you will not be surprised, you'll be ready. As I will go seek to emphasize briefly this evening, that we can look back thankfully on the past year, that we are found here again today. Surely the Lord has helped us. But that's not for us to rest. Let's be prepared, not caught out. In Daniel we read of Babylon. You know the story perhaps of the feast where the hand appeared writing on the wall. That was a great feast. They just relaxed. They transgressed every standard. A great party. Babylon is mighty. We're fine, thank you very much. And that very night, the enemy broke in. The king was killed. And they became another nation, conquered, because they were not ready. Let's be ready for 2013. Under no illusions, the battle is still upon us. We do still wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. I would therefore ask, as Paul did, of himself, when he calls to pray with all, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. How God works these things, do we know? But he has called me to pastor in some way this congregation. I need your prayers for 2013 to give me utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I can't do it on my own. I need your prayers. We need each other's prayers as a congregation. Our ministry in this place and in every place where we are needs much prayer. Does the gospel matter? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that gospel that brings this down upon you worse than a ton of bricks. But does it matter? Does it matter to you? Does it matter to others? Surely it does. Well, give it your attention. For the sake of others, if not yourself, but surely for yourself too. Give it your life. That's what these weapons and protection are all about. It's about life. It's about prayers. Isn't this a picture that tells us it will not be smooth sailing, but it is the way home? God grant blessing on his word of the year past, and whatever he gives us in the year to come. Let us seek him in prayer today. Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, where we have been able in some way this morning to receive your word. and to hold it. That you have drawn around us to keep us from the evil one. We pray that we might know that continuing care, that great desire of heart to dwell in Christ, that he might dwell in us, that you will be in the midst of your people as in the ancient days, that you will be our God, the one who is mighty to save, even to the end. That we pray that you will be at work in us for that, to that conclusion. That we would not be drawn aside, but able to stand, and having done all, to stand. Keep a watch over us in spirit, particularly we pray, that we might know our confidence in Christ Jesus and in your indwelling spirit. We might know that confidence through the gracious, merciful pardoning of all our sins, which we plead once more, that the honor would be to you, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, three in one. O Lord, that you have come, reached out, and saved, we thank and praise you, and ask now that you would receive us once more in the righteousness of Christ himself, and for his sake. Amen. We sing again in Psalm 22. We'll take the traditional version at this point on page 228, remembering as we began and the affliction that was on God's servant, above all upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the mockery that was laid before him, let his God deliver him, because in him he takes delight. Then in verse 22, on page 228, the Lord's servant has known God's keeping, and this is his response. I will show forth thy name unto those that my brethren are. Amidst the congregation thy praise I will declare. Praise ye the Lord, who do him fear. Him glorify, all ye the seed of Jacob. Fear him, all that Israel's children be. And we'll sing to the verse marked 26 from verse 22, standing again to sing God's praise.
I will show forth thy name unto those as my brethren are. Amidst the congregation, thy praise I will keep them. Praise ye the Lord, who do
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.